Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Aramarte Fio on blogtalkradio.com. The views expressed here are not necessarily those of all hosts, guests, or producers, and the show is for a mature audience.
Hello, I'm Stuart Alexander. Once again, thank you for joining the Socialist Insight. Today we have Bob Maskey. He's joined our program before, and he's coming back on again as a guest. And today we'll be discussing the transparent policies of Barack Obama. Bob, thanks again for joining the program.
Hey, Stuart. Thanks for having me on.
Bob, the program today is very appropriate for much of what we see going on in the news media, especially when it comes to many of the constitutional rights that have been guaranteed through the Constitution. And I'm not saying our constitutional rights, because under the Obama administration and within the last decade and a half, basically, unfortunately, the Constitution has become just a piece of paper. People don't realize their constitutional rights. They have none. Essentially, the only rights that they have on the Constitution is the faith that they believe that document still works for them today. But, Bob, what we're going to be doing today is, as I mentioned, we're going to be discussing the transparent promises of Barack Obama. Now, we know back in 2007 when Barack Obama, when he was running as a candidate for president, he was very critical of the Bush administration, and rightly so. And the majority of Americans, they were very critical of the Bush administration and how so much was done secretively and it wasn't transparent. But Barack Obama, when he came into the White House, he said that his administration was going to have transparency where people could understand what was taking place in their government. But we don't see that happening today. No. And we're going to discuss some things in regards to how blatant that is, that this administration is not how this administration is not transparent. Now, one of the things that we see that just recently, where there is so much talk on the internet, there's talk on the news, it's in regards to the leaks that just came out from Edward Snowden. He was an agent working with the NSA, and basically he was a whistleblower. He came out and just said how this agency is actually not working for the benefit of American citizens, but basically that the NSA is spying on American people, that they are disclosing information, our personal information, on American citizens, and it's not just for to prevent us from any acts of terrorism. But, Bob, when we look at what has taken place with that organization, an organization that's supposed to be there for the American people and protecting us, Bob, what do you see? I mean, it seems like it's an organization that's working against the best interests of Americans.
You know, I'm not really a glasses half full kind of a guy, but let's look at the bright side of this. What's happening now, okay, to everybody, to all Americans, is the same thing that they've been doing to the left for the last 100 years or so. You know, spying on us, you know, taking our emails, tapping our phones without court orders, all these things that they've been blacklisting us. I mean, all these things are coming around, and the rest of Americans are now feeling the same thing we've had to deal with, and historically we all look at as, you know, almost nostalgic, you know.
All right. But, Bob, why is it within recent years it's become so broad-based? I mean, it's covering everyone within recent years.
It doesn't even seem like Obama had to do this.
It's always been like that.
Yeah, it doesn't even seem like Obama had to do this. It's almost like we can do it, so we're going to do it. You know, I mean, I don't understand the point. He had everything to lose by this being, you know, put out there. This jeopardizes their election in 2014, their election in 2016. I mean, they can no longer take the high road with the American voter. They, you know, all the things that they want to scare people with how bad Bush was, and Bush was horrible, But all those things that they want to scare people, you know, remember Bush and remember that, and the Republicans will continue to do it, they can't use any of that anymore because they've all done the same damn thing.
Right, exactly. And, Bob, we see the same thing with Bradley Manning. Many people have heard about the WikiLeaks files and how it was leaked to the public. Many files that were very confidential as far as for military and also secret military and also things to do with the way government is being run in Washington. But we see that Bradley Manning now is on trial, and many people on the left and throughout the nation, they believe that trying this individual, Bradley, is very unfair. And in the sight of many people, Bradley Manning is a hero.
Yeah. I mean, and both of these guys, Manning and Snowden, they were both faced with a difficult choice. I mean, you know, I think the Snowden stuff is so recent, it's hard to put a grasp on all of it. But Manning, we've known of for quite a while, and you know, we've heard all the dirt already. We already got it all. These people had a difficult decision to make. I mean, do I shut up and just do what my superiors are telling me to do? Do I be the good little German, or do I see this as an attack on our Constitution, which overcomes all the other orders I've been given? You know what I mean? I mean, you know,
right.
And these guys decided that, no, these are unconstitutional. These are obviously unconstitutional. They didn't have to be lawyers to figure that out. It was pretty obvious.
Right.
I think it's pretty obvious to me and you, too. So they had
right.
a difficult decision to make. I don't think Manning thought that after he did this, it would go any other way. I can't
right.
imagine that he thought that he wouldn't be spending a huge amount of time in jail. I can't imagine that he thought that at all. That you know, whether he regrets it or not is besides the point. At the time, I'm sure he knew what the consequences were. And, yeah, that's every definition of a hero as far as I'm concerned.
Well, much of this, what we see taking place within the recent years, has come as a result of what was from the Bush administration, the Patriot Act.
Right.
When the Patriot Act came out, Bob, I mean, to me, it really seemed like, even though it was approved by Congress, it really seemed like it was an illegal act against the Constitution.
Right, and the Congress is not allowed to subvert the Constitution. They have to change the Constitution, they actually have to go through every state legislature and get a certain amount of
right,
states
exactly.
to change it. I mean, they can't just all of a sudden start making laws. And that goes back to what I said with these guys who made these value judgments about what was unconstitutional and what wasn't. And, you know, I remember when the Patriot Act came out, we knew it was wrong. We all knew it was wrong.
But most of the people that approved it in Congress didn't even read the document.
Yep.
They just rubber stamped it.
Yeah. And it was supported by a lot of the same people typically the right wing, who are now complaining about Obama using it.
Right, exactly.
You know? I mean, at least the left have been against it, you know, from the start. They were against it with Bush, and they were against it with Obama. You know, the right wing, they don't seem to care as long as they're after the Democrat. You know, then they were against it. But, you know, if it goes against their own Republican, then they shut up. That's unfortunate because, if they had joined us, not necessarily joined us, but if they had been a part of the people jumping up and down and screaming about this at the outset or any time in between, we might have been able to actually do something about it.
Right. Well, we had, as I mentioned, we had the Patriot Act. And what this does, and what we see happening with the NSA and what has taken place since 9/11, and much of it, Bob, as you mentioned, it was taking place before 9/11, but where they can unlawfully exercise surveillance on American citizens, they can tap our personal lines, tap the lines of businesses. Now they're going to many of the the companies that give us provide phone service, they're going and tapping their lines. They're going to the internet giants and they're seizing their records. Bob, where does this end? It seems like it's a police state.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, and it does seem like a police state. And if you remember, not too long ago, probably about 6 months to a year ago, a similar thing happened, and Obama or the Democrats' excuse for it all was that they were only listening to phone calls outside of the country, from America outside of the country.
Right.
Exactly. Do you remember that? That was their big excuse why we didn't have to worry, because they weren't targeting Americans. Right? Now that's all changed. Now they are targeting Americans, and that excuse was nothing but a lie, because I'm sure they were targeting Americans back then.
Oh, they were targeting Americans then.
Yep. Yep. And that's the unfortunate thing is that I don't think anybody's picking up that was a lie, that was a huge lie back then.
And what I might mention, Bob, they've even we talk about what took place back in the 30s and 40s with Germany. They have gone far. They have done far worse than what took place in Germany, because now they're dealing with high tech technologies, and they're able to just spy on everyone, their personal conversations, everywhere you look. These days, you have cameras everywhere. They have cameras where in our neighborhoods, in where we work. But they have gone far. They have done more to have surveillance and to spy on this society than any other society in the history of the world.
Yeah, and you know, though they would have, we know that, right? I mean, you know, Nazi Germany certainly would have if they could have, but. You know, I just wonder about the unintended consequences of this all. I mean, now that the government knows what porn everybody looks at, you know, how's that all going to come down?
Bob, you know, what I want to look at, because, you know, we talk about our rights as citizens. We talk about our rights under the Constitution. But when I look at it, you know, I really don't see where we have any rights these days. And now it's getting to the point where the government and the leaders in government, if they do something unlawful, they would just come right out and say, well, you don't have any rights. And we're missing that because we're hearing it in the news. We're hearing it in print. On the Internet is constantly where we're seeing that we don't have any rights as citizens. As I mentioned, the Constitution now is nothing more than just a piece of paper. But when we look at, you know, the rights that we have really lost as American citizens. Let's look at the rights that we've really lost. Let's look at start with our First Amendment rights. And the people there during the in 2011 for the Occupy movement, when it started in October of 2011, much of what they were doing, how they were being arrested illegally, how they had them under surveillance, how they were attacking their rights of free speech, freedom of assembly. What about our First Amendment rights? I mean, right away, Occupy, those rights were shot down.
I think that's what Occupy was trying to prove, that those rights were just a facade, that there were no rights, and that you could only challenge the system so far, and you could especially only challenge the system from the left so far. You know, that was the big thing, too. I mean, the Tea Parties, they didn't have this kind of an issue. They didn't have this kind of problem. They showed up with guns. I mean, at their places, you know, Occupy showed up with flowers. You know, I mean, but they were the ones who got the surveillance. They were the ones. I mean, and you know, you're right. I mean, I don't think it's a group issue so much for everybody. I think, you know, if you're not a part of Occupy, you probably don't have a lot to worry about. But at any moment, any one of us could be pegged. Any one of us could be pointed out. And then that is when you don't have the rights. That, you know, I think it's a selective thing right now, where, you know, if you squawk too much, or if you do the wrong thing, or you're caught in the wrong place, or if you have the wrong background, or maybe even the wrong skin color and saying the wrong thing, that's when you're going to get targeted. But, you know, the next step is obviously targeting the groups like they've done to Occupy in the past, and to unions in the past, and to Socialist Party in the past.
Right. Now, some of the things, as I mentioned, they have attacked our rights, as I mentioned, for peaceful assembly. And that's what Occupy was all about. It was peaceful assemblies all over the country. But that was a growing movement. And the government, would you not agree, Bob, that the government looked at Occupy as a threat?
Yes, and they should have. I mean, it was a peaceful...
Why should they have looked at them as a threat? because those people were doing, the only thing they were doing was just speaking about rights that we should be able to enjoy as citizens, as human beings.
A little off the subject, but in the same subject. Do you know what the right wing narrative is about Occupy?
What is that?
The right wing narrative is about Occupy is that it was created by Barack Obama, and that it's Barack Obama's baby, and they do what he tells them to do. That's how little of the message actually ended up seeping into the media, is they actually think it's just a Democrat front group.
Well, I know Obama, what he did is he stepped up to the plate real quick with Occupy, and he cuddled up to them. And then secretly, what he did is he went on the attack of Occupy, and he has unleashed all the authorities of the FBI, of the Attorney General's office, the U.S. Attorney General's office. He unleashed all the local authorities. I mean, first he said, this is your rights as citizens, and then all of a sudden he became their biggest nightmare, and they started coming out with all kinds of laws that would prevent that movement from moving forward. So I guess my question is, how was that Obama's? How was that his baby?
Exactly. But you can't talk to these people. And I'm talking about the Fox News viewer. The Fox News viewer.
That explains it right there.
Right. That's how they've created the narrative. That's how when Occupy does something they don't like, they can blame Obama. And when Occupy does something that they might like, it's not reported. it's forgotten.
Now, when you look at free speech, that's another thing. When you talk about Americans, we start talking about our rights as citizens, and we start thinking about what we have lost as our rights. Essentially, we don't have free speech anymore in this country. I mean, if you exercise your right to free speech, chances are you're going to land in jail like really quick.
Yeah, and look at the issue of the cooperation between the corporations and the government. It's the phone companies that are giving this information over to the government. It's the internet companies that are giving it. I think a few years ago the government was even trying to do this, and groups like Google were standing up to them saying, no, you'll have to take us to court. We'll get this settled in court, and the government backed off a little bit. I don't think that's happening anymore. I think now the corporations are giving the information up pretty easily, pretty readily.
And that's
a scary part. That's fascism. This cooperation between businesses and government. And don't think for a minute that these corporations don't know a heck of a lot more about you than the government does. I mean, all those cards we've got, every one of those cards with a magnetic strip is followed by a corporation. If you go to a grocery store, that grocery store knows your buying habits. They understand you buy, what you're supposed to buy, and they target you. They target their advertisements towards you. You can see that on the internet all the time. When you're just looking at some kind of a website, I mean, I was looking at, a newspaper or something not long ago, the LA Times, thinking about getting a subscription. And I mean, now I get, LA Times all over the place whenever I'm looking at something on the internet.
Uh-huh.
So they know so much about you. And I'm the kind of guy who pays cash for everything. I try not to leave too much of a trail, but boy, they sure do know a lot about me.
It's very interesting that you mentioned that. And I was looking at something, this was several years ago, and it was just tracing, it was a celebrity. And they were just tracing her moves by, things that places she had gone and what she had purchased. And just by swiping her card, they knew where she had been. They knew what she had purchased. And all of this was right over the news. And I'm saying, here's all of this person's personal and private information. And they're talking about, this person went and shopped here and bought this and bought that. And why would she be buying this type of material or whatever? But it was private information just by swiping the card. And then in every place you went, they had a camera here, a camera there, where they could verify that, we were in the shop with this person. That was a complete invasion of privacy. But as you mentioned, Bob, I mean, here we are, we carrying around these magnetic strips in our pocket. And all of us want to make certain that we have our magnetic strip so we can purchase whatever we want, especially many of us especially younger people, they don't even carry cash anymore. Only thing they have is they have a card in their pocket. So if they go into a store and make a purchase on something, right away they swipe their card. If they purchase gasoline, they swipe the card. You even ask a lot of young people these days, do they have a checking account? Oh, you have a checking account. Do you have checks? No, I don't have checks. I never had checks. I do everything online. But yep. They have a checking account. So now we've become a society where they can trace us everywhere we swipe our card. If we walk into a building, they see us there. We are under total surveillance, Bob, as a society. So that was a good point that you made.
And this is no far out Alex Jones kind of thinking.
Oh,
here.
No.
You know, this is how these cards work. And the government, through the corporations, can know everything about you. Everything you buy,
right.
Where you buy it, meaning you were there. So every place you were, every place you were tracked, you know, how fast you drive in your car, all
right.
These things. Americans have to really start wondering, do you want the government to do this? Do you want the government? And it's really sad.
How fast you drive in your car. That's a good point. You're right.
And it's really sad when it's socialists who are supposed to be these big government bullies, right, are the ones pointing
right.
out the government has overstepped. The government is way
right.
too big.
Overbearing. Right. But that's a good point. As you mentioned, even in your cars, when you turn your television on in the evening, they know what you're looking
yep.
at, how long you look at that, how many stations you are turning to. They know exactly. They know what terminals are on in your house. They know when you go from television to the internet, and they're tracing everything. And when you receive a phone call on your cell phone, they know exactly who you're talking to, how long you're talking to that person, and the contents of everything that you're saying to that person. They know everything that's on your landline, and all this becomes
yeah.
permanent data that they use.
Yeah. And do you remember back when Bush was president and the Patriot Act went through, and they were trying to get access to everybody's library records? Do you remember that?
Oh, right.
Right?
Exactly.
And the librarians were standing up. The librarians were standing up and making a big squawk, and some were, you know, actually risking jail time for not turning over. What happened
exactly.
to that discussion? It's all gone.
Yeah.
And they've
yeah,
gotten a lot more than just damn library about what we've done in libraries.
As a result, more than half the libraries across the nation shut down. Not
right.
really, but I mean, libraries
well, they,
have been
they did.
Closing
they stopped,
down because
they stopped.
People use the internet. People
yeah.
use the internet, though.
Yeah. Well, they stopped using certain things. They stopped keeping records of everything, so that the government couldn't go and get it. I remember there was a big, it was a struggle, and you know, I don't know where it is now. I mean, everybody, there must be some government collusion that we're not seeing with the businesses, with the corporations. It's got to be. It's gone way far beyond, you know, a terrorism threat. Certainly, I mean, nobody can be that silly to think that this is all about terrorism, about keeping us safe.
And here's another thing, Bob. When we talk about our, you know, what rights we have lost as citizens, I mean, in today's society, anyone, and I think anyone, can be arrested just for demonstrating near where the president is at. Well, you're aware of that, right?
Yeah.
All you have to
yep.
be, if the president is, say, for instance, the president comes to, I believe you live in San Bernardino, but say, for instance, like over in the city of Colton, and the president is there within that community, and he's in his motorcade, and you hold up a sign where it's something to say that you're protesting something, you can be arrested and thrown in jail for that.
Yep.
What would have happened if they had that authority under Bush?
Yeah.
Pardon me?
If they had that authority under Bush, he came to my city a couple of times. You know, I would have been in jail because I was out there with another 1,000 people doing that.
And Bob, why aren't people in the streets? I mean, why aren't people angry? Why aren't people out there saying, we're fed up with this? Why isn't that happening? People are saying, well, what can I do? You know, and they just go on about their normal routine. Why is that?
I think it's overload. I think it's overload. If I go to my Facebook page and I, you know, I read the first top couple of things and I find something I'm really interested in that I think is just horrible and I want to act on it, and I keep going down, and then there's another one, and then there's another one, and then there's another one. They're all different subjects. And there's so many things coming at us right now that I think people end up saying, I can't pick and choose between them. So I just ignore it. I'll just move on.
No, you're very correct. Because it is. You become just overwhelmed and overloaded. Like, where do we start? Bob, when we talk about our First Amendment, our rights as citizens, and all of us say, well, those are my rights. Those are my constitutional rights. But now you can be labeled as a terrorist just because you're saying, these are my First Amendment rights. By saying that these are my constitutional rights, you can be labeled as a dissident and as a potential terrorist and put on a watch list. Bob, we're going way too far.
Yep. Yep.
So, Bob, I just want to get into some of these other things when we look at, where are we going as a society? Because, it definitely seemed like we're going in the wrong direction. And what was exposed there with Edward Snowden and Bradley Manning, of course, it gives us fuel where we have things where we can see that this government is doing things that are corrupt. And then people are concerned, people like you and like myself, and I want to talk about it. I don't want to sweep it under the carpet. If I see that we're doing things wrong that are against other nations, if we have drones going into countries and killing children, if we're doing things where we're killing Americans and other nations, if we say that we can come out with the National Defense Authorization Act, and be able to detain people with no warrants and have nothing that we can, they can be arrested and detained for no reason at all. When we see things that are taking place like in Guantanamo, these things, they are revealing, but now they reveal to the American public, and now they have done something supposedly that is illegal. And then if we talk about that, now we're engaging in something illegal. Bob, where does it end?
We talked about this last time we were speaking on the program, and I think the Democratic Party is not behaving as it's supposed to.
How is it supposed to behave?
When it was under Bush, it was supposed to be the opposition party. Instead, it was the collusion party. They voted for the war. They defended Bush. They acted the patriot thing because they thought if they didn't, it might cost them some votes. So they were for the Patriot Act. They were the same people who didn't read the Patriot Act, And now they are just backing the president because he's a Democrat. It would be silly for anybody to argue that if Obama was a Republican, that the Democrats wouldn't be saying something about it. But it's okay now because he's a Democrat. So they're not. So we don't have any kind of a party that's actually in opposition to this kind of thing. We don't have any organized resistance. What we have is Occupy, which is great. Love Occupy, but it's obviously not enough. I mean, we need more mobilization among the masses of Americans, and it's not happening. Hello? I lost you. Can't hear you.
Hello? It looks like you're both there. Oh, okay, Bob. He's dropped. Stuart? Stuart? Hello?
Hello?
Okay. Oh, now
it's
Stuart
Bob.
Dropped. I kept trying to say hi to him, and now he dropped.
Yeah. are we on the air there?
We're live.
We're live. Hello, everybody. This is Bob's show.
Exactly. Bob's thinking about having his own show. We want to encourage him. Okay.
So I guess Obama was listening and he didn't like what we were saying.
I guess we're talking about things that we are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I guess we're talking about things that we shouldn't be talking about. Yeah, but we're going to keep talking about it.
We didn't even use the word infidel.
Yeah, we even see infidel. I mean, for both of us, Bob, to be cut off at the same time, where is the NSA when we need them?
I wouldn't care so much about the spying as long as they kept things running more smoothly.
Where is the NSA when we don't need them? Okay, Bob, anyway, something that we can talk about like a couple of weeks from now. But anyway, Bob, I want to talk about a little bit more of this, what we're looking at when we're looking at our rights. We're talking about the transparency of the lack of transparency of the Obama administration and how the transparency has only been of our rights as citizens. And, Bob, when we look at that type of transparency, even the very social medias, how everything, whether it's the Internet for doing our emails, whether it's Facebook, everyone, I see people saying, well, that's my Facebook account. But it's not your Facebook account. You know, it was given to you for free, but it's amazed by which everything that you're posting on there is being is being looked at by the government. It's being looked at by agencies internally and also externally, the CIA, the FBI. We have the NSA looking at all of this information that you put on Facebook. And, Bob, I see some people just put so much information so freely on the Internet and Facebook. And they don't mind saying, I like this and I like that. And when they say they like that, they say, I agree with that. And that's also being looked at by this government. Bob, where is that going?
It seems really clear that no matter which party is in power in this government, in this country, they will use whatever authority they can use, and they will use it to whatever ends they can use it for.
Is it a legal authority? That's the question.
Oh, absolutely not. But if there's nobody stopping them, Obama's waiting for this to go to court. That's what he's waiting for. He figures by the time it goes to the Supreme Court, after a couple of appeals courts go through all this type of stuff, that he'll be out of office and it won't matter anymore to him.
He'd be 5 years retired.
Right, right. So, he doesn't feel any personal, issue here. He's not personally, he won't be running for election again after this. So he doesn't personally care about it. And I'm not trying to dump on Obama. I've been very disappointed, more disappointed in him than usual over the last week or so. But, this is not just Obama. This is a problem with our entire system. This is a problem with our entire system that, that the wealthy are the ones running this. There's some kind of a profit in here, or talking socialism, or talking all kinds of different political ways is a threat. The Occupy movement is a threat. Socialism is a threat. I think they think that we're more of a threat than we are at present. I think they kind of think of us.
Again, what's the difference between that and Nazi Germany?
Well, the difference is the guns came out. Nazi Germany. I mean, they were shooting people at this time. I mean, that's the difference. I mean, what would happen if that even did happen in this country? I'm not quite sure how much.
We're doing the same thing in other parts of the world.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, there has been a threat. I mean, we have killed an American citizen or two. They were usually in Afghanistan, and they had, been fighting against the country. But they were not allowed. Michael Moore brought this up. He was one of the first celebrities to bring it up. I mean, they did not get a trial. And that, according to the Constitution, we are allowed a trial. That's another one of our constitutional rights that seems to be gone. We don't get a trial. We just get a finger pointed at us, and then a drone strike hits us in the head.
Right, exactly. And, Bob, even when we look at, and a lot of this is just spying on American citizens, even when a lot of people, I don't go to church myself. I don't see where I need to go and sit and hear someone preach to me, on a weekly basis. But even people in the churches, the activities in various church groups, whether it's a cult, non-cult, and many of them are cults, but even they are being spied on within this country. I mean, so no matter, and their activities, whether they have activities, some activities, were to the extreme, like what happened with Jim Jones in Guyana, but just the activities I see from time to time where their finances are being looked at, or what they're being, their potential violation of losing their non-tax, their tax-exempt status. But you see that if you're in jeopardy of losing your tax-exempt status, someone must be looking at your activities.
Yeah. You know, and that whole thing there, too, I mean, they've been using that against the left forever. I mean, you know, they've always looked at left-wing, you know, charitable organizations, you know, with a fine-tooth comb. They, you know, so okay, a couple of right-wing groups said the same thing happened to them. But that's when we hear a squawk. That's when we hear these things are basically aimed, you know, the taking away of our constitutional rights affects all Americans, but they focus it on the left. They end up focusing it on the left, and with the media behind them. They are able to make the narrative. They are the ones who are able to say, you know, gee, well, this guy deserved it. You know, 5-10 years down the road, you find out that it was all lies, but then it's too late because everybody's moved on. You know, there's another big issue that's come up. You know, how many times have we seen that happen? I mean, anybody who still believes – I mean, this is horrible what we heard from Snowden. This is horrible what has come out. But I'm not surprised.
Did he have a right, in your opinion? This is only your opinion. Did he have a right to do what he did?
Well, again, I think it's up to the individual to say, hey, is this unconstitutional? I mean, and again, I think it's a little early I think it's a little early for him. I think because it just happened, and I haven't seen all the information. I haven't read everything I should probably have read
about
it. But the Manning thing is even better. You know, Manning saw this as a constitutional threat, and he put it out there, knowing the consequences. He couldn't get away. He couldn't go to Hong Kong. He couldn't get out of the country. He was in the service, and he's in a military prison now. So he is. You know, should he have done it? Yeah. I kind of hope that I would do it if I had that opportunity.
Well, I think what you start weighing, you know, your people's rights under the Constitution, or do this government have the right to be able to do things illegally against the citizens of the country?
Right.
So when you start looking at that, I mean, this is what we come up as children, believing that the Constitution is something that we should hold dear to our existence here in this country. And then the government's saying, but we can violate that. I think all of a sudden you have a big question there. Did the person really do something illegally? Because it becomes a matter of principle. Did I do something that I felt that was right in my heart and mind?
Yeah, it comes down to what – there's a difference between what the courts are going to rule, too. The courts aren't necessarily going to – I don't think Manning is getting a fair trial. I don't think he's getting the representation he needs.
I can tell you already he's not going to get a fair trial.
Right, and that's the problem. That's where the whole Constitution again goes out the window, is that this guy is not going to get a fair trial.
I think for him to get a fair trial, it's going to have to be somewhere off this planet, you know? So
at the Hague.
But the
world court. Bring him to the world court. Yeah, the people who should be that's the other point. I mean, you know, you want to talk about somebody who gave away secrets. Talk about Dick Cheney. You know, Valerie Plame. I mean, you know,
what we see under U.S. imperialism, Bob, is it's very far-reaching. I mean, it goes from one end of the globe to the other.
Yep.
So you say the Hague. I mean, where are you going to go? I mean, how is that going to be influenced by this government? That was a good point that you mentioned about Snowden being there in China, because there are some limitations, some limits, and I'm not saying that he's going to be, out of the U.S. reach just because he's in China. Bob, another one, when we talk about, the way that we have the transparency, the lack of transparency under President Obama, and also the transparency, the transparent policies that are exercised toward U.S. citizens. When we look at just writing articles or speaking out against government policies, automatically you're put on the list just because of that these days, Bob. Potentially where you'd be on a list where you can't even fly anywhere in the country, a no-fly list. This is all under this president and these corrupt policies that we see that are infringing upon, I would like to say, our constitutional rights. but just our human rights.
Yep, yep. And you know, that's another, that's a mistaken impression people have about socialists, is that we don't support the Bill of Rights. And socialists seem to be the ones who do support the Bill of Rights. It seems like everybody else isn't the one who supports the Bill of Rights. You know, and when we're talking about the government just ignoring the Bill of Rights, that's a big problem. Again, that's what Manning was putting out there.
Bob, you know, I'm going to go in a little bit different direction, because obviously you and I, we believe that we should have a government that's transparent. We should have a president that's transparent, and his policies, what he talked about in 2007, we can see that he has moved away from what he was advocating back there prior to his first term in office, and now he's done a complete 180 degrees. Now, you say that there are no parties out there. Is that correct? Did you say there's no political parties right now?
Well, neither are the two big parties. Neither are the two main parties, the ones that supposedly have the elections all locked up.
What is the prospect of a party emerging within the next decade? Because I know you believe that there's a need for a third party to be able to take this nation or help direct the thinking of this nation in a different direction. But in the next decade, Bob, obviously a couple of weeks ago, you had mentioned that you don't think we're going to be ready by 2016. Let's go beyond 2016. What about the next decade? Do we have anything that you see on the horizon, or what do we need to be doing now where we can be able to move this country? When I say country, I'm not talking about this government, the country as in the people, to give them an alternative to what they have now?
I don't have an answer, because I've been through these last couple of elections, and really what we need is a massive defection from the Democrat Party. That's what we need. I mean, you know, that's where the rank-and-file Democrat is as upset about all of this as we are. And their typical knee-jerk reaction to everything is, would you rather have Romney in there?
No, I wouldn't.
What make
you think that? What do you think? You say the rank-and-file Democrats, they're unhappy too. What give you that impression? I'm just, you know, just from my own curiosity.
I'm on the comment boards of the news articles. I've got several liberal friends around here. I'm involved with the community quite a bit. So we do communicate. They are angry, but they don't know what to do. They really want is an alternative.
Why did they go to the polls a few months ago and install him for another 4 years?
Then we go back to all the way to Nader, when Nader supposedly cost the election, right, and gave Bush the office. Then they always point to that and say, "Do you want that to happen again?" And you know, we can fluff that whole thing off, and I do fluff it all off, because it's a nonsense argument. Until we can do something about that argument, we're not going to gain any real political power. I mean, you know, maybe the argument has to be forgotten. Maybe it'll be forgotten in 10 or 15 years. But until we can address that issue of Nader putting the right winger, the crazy right winger, into office, until we can address the issue of, gee, would you rather have a McCain or a Romney in there than a Barack Obama, until we can do that, we're not going to go anywhere. But the terminology they use is, you know, I'm voting for the lesser of two evils.
Right.
Which is still evil.
Right. It's still evil. Barack Obama, he was just voted back into office several months ago. And, of course, if you look at the majority of Americans, they're not satisfied with this president.
No.
Bob, do you think he's even listening to the people, even listening remotely, listening to the people that voted him into office, or he just listening to the people that financed him into office from Wall Street?
No, it's, the answer is obvious. He's listening to the people who financed him. And, you know, those are the people he put into his positions of authority. You know, he's got the Monsanto people in there. He's got the bankers in there. He's not listening to the people who voted for him, and I don't think he really ever intended to. You know, I wasn't one who was so hard on Obama until recently. I mean, I didn't support him. I didn't vote for him. I wouldn't have voted for him. I asked people to vote against him. But I didn't think, you know, he was a real bad person. I think I've changed my mind about that. He's not a good guy. He's never been on our side. I think he's always had this mask on him that he's actually it's been pulled off of him at this point.
Is there any difference between Obama and Bush other than one was black and one was white?
There's one big difference that I can name right off the bat, and that's for gay rights. And when we don't acknowledge that, we alienate a lot of our gay brothers and sisters out there. I mean, you know, they like this president.
And that's the only thing.
That's the only thing I can really think of. Yeah, I mean, you know, he purposely tried to keep away from race. Race is an issue.
That's an important thing. But the thing is, when you look at many of the other outstanding issues out there, I see that basically there's no difference between the two presidents.
He has
where Bush left off in 2008, Obama picked up the torch and started moving it forward in 2009. Other than that, I see no difference between the two presidents.
You know, the thing about the gay rights too. I mean, you know, being for gay rights has allowed Obama a lot more leeway than he might have otherwise had too. I mean, the left stuck with him for quite a while, and a lot of lefties are still on his side, largely because of the gay rights issue. You know, how could he be that bad? He did all this, you know.
Well, let's talk about some of the things that need to be transparent under this president that are not transparent. Bob, when we look at these drone attacks, Americans need to know what is going on. I mean, it is killing innocent people throughout the world. And now they can target people outside of war zones. They can target them in other areas where they potentially are saying that they are terrorist threats. But this should be transparent where we see this, but there's no transparency other than what is being relayed to us by other secret sources.
You know, I think it's probably wrong to think that we have to know everything about what Obama or his staff are doing.
Well, we knew during Vietnam. Various attacks when they hit certain civilians in villages and towns. It was right there on the evening news.
Yeah. Well,
what's the difference?
I mean, we have troops in how many different countries? You know, we are an imperialist empire.
Over 800.
Here,
we have bases in over 800 countries. I mean, over 800 bases worldwide.
Right. So when you have that many bases worldwide, you have enemies in a globe that's full of nations. You have enemies. And so, okay, the government has to keep some secrets. So I think the point is that it's the Constitution. We get back to the Constitution again. Are you keeping something secret because you're doing it against the Constitution? And that's obviously what Obama has been doing. That's obviously what his whole thing has been doing. And it doesn't even seem like he's ashamed of it.
Well, if they are obtaining any type, if they're doing any type of surveillance and spying on American citizens, should this be something that is known to the American people? In what cases that this has been done, where they did not go through the proper channels and obtain a warrant, should this be made apparent? Should this be revealed to the American people?
And using your
because
example,
they work for us. They don't work for themselves.
Right. Should using your example, should we be going to war with countries without the House of Representatives declaring war? Should we be sending drones into Pakistan? Should we have invaded Libya back during Obama's first term? I mean, you know, all these things were against the Constitution as well.
And things that has happened, like the attacks there at Benghazi, I mean, now it's coming out in various hearings Should we not have known that before it come out in hearings there in Congress? These are things I feel that should not be secret, the secret policies of this administration, but these are things that the American people need to know before it's done through investigations there in Washington, D.C.
You got no argument with me. I agree, yes. I mean, you know,
I'm going to have to find someone that argue these points. We agree on too many things.
The point is that these things aren't national security issues. You know, when I was saying that, you know, we have enemies all over the world, and I can understand, you know, that okay, they feel they have to keep some secrets. You know, but that's because they are doing that's not the reason they're keeping the secrets. They're keeping the secrets because they're spying on us. They're keeping the secrets because they don't want us to know that they can target American citizens around the globe. That's why they're keeping the secrets. They're not keeping the secrets because it has anything to really do with national security, unless they really consider the American people as a security risk.
Now, there's been various calls for Eric Holden to resign and for Barack Obama to remove him from office. And the president has already said that he stands firmly behind his attorney general. Do you think do you think that he should be removed from office?
I think he's doing exactly what Obama has told him to do. I don't think, you know, I don't think these members of the cabinet go flying off and just do whatever they want and then walk up to the president and say, I don't care what you want. You know, he's following Obama's lead. I mean, if he hadn't been, then Obama would have probably gotten rid of him. But he's doing exactly what Obama wants him to do. And he's also behaving as the shield for Obama so that it doesn't directly splash all over his administration. He's the one who's taking the hot seat, but he's doing what Obama wants him to do.
Right. When we look at the NSA, some people think it's an illegal institution. They think a lot of things that they're doing, spying on Americans. Of course, the NSA has been around for years. Doesn't mean that they're right. Do you think an organization like that, is it needed in a society such as the U.S.?
I don't think there's a real threat from people. I think, and we've seen it, you and I both.
Is there a need for an organization like that?
No, there isn't. You know, we 9/11 did happen. It was an external threat, and they had worked domestically, but these were police.
Well, the NSA
there's only so much you can do about these things.
They were around before 9/11. So even before that, I'm asking, is an organization needed like that in a society, any society?
No, because then they'll abuse their power. They'll use whatever authority they can get. They'll keep seeking more authority, and they'll use it. And then they'll overstep the authority, and when they get caught, they'll go and they'll try to get it codified that they can use that authority that they already used. I mean, it's, you know, if we didn't live in a world where we were out trying to be the world's bully, if we didn't live in a world, you want to really keep America safe, bring the troops home. That's how you keep America safe. Bring the troops home. You know, but send the Peace Corps out there. Great, wonderful. You know, but bring the troops home. Stop bullying every little country that chirps at us. You know, that would keep us safe. But you know, that's never an option with the Democrats or the Republicans.
Well, the left, obviously, they're very divided. What can be done to during the remainder of this administration where American citizens can demand more accountability of this president, and even accountability there in Washington, D.C., because right now there's a lack of accountability, and definitely there is no transparency. But what can be done by Americans for accountability during the remainder of his term in Washington and also of Congress?
You know, I think of my own U.S. Senator Dianne Feinstein, who immediately after Snowden released the information, she came out and supported Obama 100%.
Supported him 100% on everything.
Yeah, you know, which again shows, you know, what is the difference between the parties? Where do you draw the line? You know, who's on whose side? I guess Barbara Boxer, our other senator, is a little more to the left, but you know, she's made some really bad calls as well.
She's a little bit more toward the center. Left.
Sorry, you're
center.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep, you got
yeah.
it.
But
yeah, I mean, what happens when all of these avenues are closed off to you? I mean, my congressman is a right winger, Republican. We as far as me as an individual, there's not so much I can do other than talking to my comrades out there, the community organizers and those kind of people, and just keep organizing, hoping that things change, I guess. I mean, I hate to sound defeatist, but I don't have an answer to
I understand where you're coming from. Bob, we have a couple more minutes for the program today, and I'm going to have you give some contact information. Eventually, you're going to have a blog talk show yourself, and I'm looking forward to when you have that. But if you could take around a minute or so, what would your program be about? What would you be talking about?
Well, I've actually see, Stuart, you kind of scared me when we talked about this last time because you told me it was a lot of work, and I already got a lot of work, so I've kind of held off on it. But I think it's a lot of work on your end because you have a whole hour of interview. I think that, and
right.
I think that's difficult. I think after maybe a half hour or so, I think so. What I'm thinking of is more maybe.
Bob, I'm at work right now. I'm at work right now, even as I speak, and I take an hour away from work. I say, I got to do this program, and I take off. And not to mention, I'm going to probably work somewhere close to 65 hours this week.
Yeah. Sounds like you're running for president again, huh?
What would your program be about?
Well, I'm thinking, you know, maybe 20-minute interview here and there, and then maybe music. You know, you're getting some of the public domain stuff out of the National Archives and things like that, some of the old jazz music and, the Woody Guthrie kind of stuff.
I'd be looking forward to it. Hey, Bob, could you give our listeners your contact information? And once again, I'd like to thank you for joining the program. How can our listeners be able to reach you?
If they don't mind the government knowing about what they write to me, they can catch me on Facebook. That's for Bob Maschi, BobMaschi.
And, Bob, I really appreciate you joining the program once again. Bob always has interesting comments that he add to this program. And any comments that you send to him, you can also send it to my personal webpage. It's StuartAlexanderCares.com. That's StuartAlexanderCares.com. And just go right to the comments section, post your comment, and I'll make sure and I'll pass those on to him. Or you can go right to Facebook. Thanks again, Bob, for joining the program. Thanks again to our listeners. Look forward to having you to join us again next week. Have a good night. Thank you, Bob.
Thanks.
You're listening to Aramarte Feo on blogtalkradio.com. The views expressed here are not necessarily those of all hosts, guests, or producers, and the show is for a mature audience.
Welcome to the Research Rabbit Hole Radio Show with Cynthia Hamill. Tonight we finish a three-part series of interviews with a focus on the targeting of individuals with microwave technologies. We first began the Research Rabbit Hole Radio Show responding to the need to report on the topic of chemtrails and to find out exactly what is at the bottom of this whole Research Rabbit Hole story on chemtrails. As you may know, chemtrails are sprayed into the sky to electrify the skies, very similar to how the grids of an electronic fly zapper works. The skies are then electromagnetized where directed energy weapons can be directly applied and used to target individuals. If you'd like backup on this, you can find an article at Rents.com, which is called What Chemtrails Really Are, and that will explain this whole phenomenon. People are literally being fried and microwaved like bacon in the privacy of their own homes, offices, and cars. This is a historical breakthrough tonight. We are bringing together three individuals who can explain to you in person exactly what they've experienced in these directed energy weapon attacks. All three people live in different corners of the United States. The one thing in common is their story on being The one thing in common is the story of their targeting and all these new weapons that are being applied on the public. The first show in the series, we interviewed Ron Gilman, who won a disability insurance case and helped over 1,700 people in his home state of Washington receive their benefits. Shortly after winning this case, Ron was targeted with a nonstop microwave attack. The second show in the series, we brought on Ron Gilman and Kate to both corroborate their stories. Kate was targeted after writing a letter to George W. Bush on the Iraq War. Tonight we had a third, sorry, I'm laughing about that because I've written some letters to George Bush too, God knows, okay. Tonight we add a third targeted individual to the discussion, introducing Maggie, who was targeted after a property dispute with neighbors. Welcome to the show, Ron, Kate, and Maggie. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here, and thank you. This is Maggie.
Yeah, great to have you on. And is Ron and Ron and Kate there?
I'm here. This is Kate.
Okay.
Hi, and this is Ron.
Oh, great. Okay, we're all on. Okay, we're using like two separate conference calls to get everybody on. So I'm glad that you're all here and welcome to the show. I'd like to begin the show by asking each of you to give about a 3 to 5 minute story that explains your experience as a targeted individual and also explains why you feel like you were initially targeted with this technology. Ron Gilman, let's start with you. Welcome to the show, and I'm glad that you're back. You gave an outstanding hour-long presentation your first show and then came on the second show to clarify more, and now we're corroborating with two other targets. So I'm so glad to have you back on the show, and please explain your story to the audience.
Well, my story, thank you very much for having me on the show. My story begins, like you stated, I was being canceled from Washington State health insurance, being disabled with degenerative disc disease, and I received notice saying I had 2 weeks notice I was going to be canceled. I got on the phone and email with the senators of Washington State and legislatures and also the DSHS department. Next thing I realized, or I received a phone call from DSHS saying congratulations. You reversed the decision for yourself plus 1,756 other people. And shortly thereafter, I started having car problems, phone problems, computer problems, and then I started a voice in my head and kind of microwave attacks to my body and frequencies to my ears. Since then, I became very proactive on trying to relay this information to the public by handing out my own literature, and I actually won a case in a court in Monroe, Washington, using electronic surveillance and police harassment as a defense. And we won that case hands down. Yep. So I do what I got to do to survive, and I learned what I do know for survival only. And the reason why I fight so much is because I don't want the children to suffer from this stuff. That's what I want.
Right, exactly. And a lot of people don't realize that this is what they're doing with the chemtrail technology, and so many hundreds of thousands of people are affected by this. Numbers of people are speaking up on YouTube and getting their own information out, but a lot of people are not collectively putting this together. And for heaven's sakes, this is not covered on the mainstream news. No one is picking up this story. So at least they announced the NSA whistleblower story. But, I mean, this is the inside track. We've been covering this now for a good 6 months or more, possibly a year on my radio show, and yet this is not leaked to the mainstream press. Us, or they're not picking the story up. So thank you for explaining that about your situation with the court case, and you feel like you were directly targeted as a result of winning that case. Is that right, Ron?
Well, winning the DSHS case, yes, with the insurance company. Oh, yeah, it was deliberate attack to me, and it is what I understand is that, you know, for self-destruction. That's, you know, you hear somebody telling you to kill yourself all day, you start, you know, wondering what's going on. So, yeah.
Okay, very good. And is there anything else you'd like to add? You've probably got like about another minute or so to explain your part of the story.
Well, yeah. A lot of this has to do with, you know, ground assault. I have cars that my brakes have been disassembled overnight, fuel lines cut, flat tires. I've had numerous occasions with the police threatening me to put me in a mental ward after I told them I've already been to the psychiatry, the best one in Western or Washington State, and I explained to them they let me out early because they believed everything I was saying was true and was not a threat to others or myself. So they could not hold me there, and that always blows the cops away when they try to threaten me with mental wards and stuff. So the biggest thing that I can say is in my situation, they know that my fear would be going into mental ward and start bumping into walls after they get you on the drugs. Well, I've learned since I realized they know my fear that that is no longer a fear. If you need me to go to a mental ward because I complain about frequencies in my ear on a 911 call, then so be it. It doesn't mean I'm crazy. It means that you just don't understand. So, yeah, last night I had the a blessing of the police in the ambulance coming up and threatening me again to go to a mental ward because I had frequencies in my ear that would have dropped any grown man to his knees and crying. So painful, painful, very painful stuff. So.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for explaining that. And I have met you in person. I've met actually all three of these people in person in Henderson, Nevada at the Super Soldier Summit just like about 2 weeks ago. And they're all sane. They're all really cool people, outstanding people. So that's why I'm having them on the show, because each person speaks for themselves and has a very credible story on this technology. And I appreciate that you're all on my show. Thank you so much for your story, Ron. Okay, now moving on to Kate. Kate, I'd like to welcome you to the show. And this is your second time on. And if you could just give us an account of your experience with technology and why you feel that you were targeted.
Sure, Cynthia, thank you. Thanks for allowing me to be back. Well, I think the last time I was on, I told you that I wasn't absolutely sure of why I was targeted, but I have been politically active, and I know that from listening to various targeted individuals that there are a lot of people that are politically active or whistleblowers that are targeted. But I would say sometime around the year 2007, I started noticing things. And there were various reasons that I could have been targeted. I did participate in the School of the Americas protest down in Fort Benning, Georgia. Now, there's a lot of people that participate in that, but what made my situation a little unique was I got involved because I was in Italy, and when I was in Italy, I happened to go on kind of a remote area and witness one of the torture prisons of School of the Americas. That's a possibility. But
oh, my gosh.
Then again, you know, after 9/11 happened, I also had gone into New York City with a small group from my area and protested the no blood for oil, you know, just the beginning of the plans President Bush had to go into Iraq. At the time, I also had written him a very brief but large font faxed letter I sent to the White House saying that going to Iraq for war was a very stupid thing. That is a possibility that got me targeted.
I hear you.
The way things got started for me, it's more in retrospect that I remembered a lot of things. what first I remembered was that I started getting shock pains to my head. And then probably like maybe a year later, I started putting the story together. I started remembering that I had been followed when I was on the road. I was working and I was traveling a lot through Pennsylvania, and I was in a lot of areas that a lot of military were. And I did at the time have a bumper sticker, just about the School of the Americas. And if people don't know what that is, basically in Fort Benning, Georgia, for very many years, our country has been teaching South American countries torture methods. And a lot of people are not aware of that.
But, my gosh.
Right within the military base, there is that training facility. So once the shock pain started, I did end up with a diagnosis of occipital neuralgia from a neurologist. But I also had some strange happenings go along with that. A lot of people are not aware. Not only are people being targeted, but medical facilities are involved in this. And I went in for what's considered a cervical facet injection, which is the upper vertebrae on the back of your neck. And the doctor forced the needle into the dura of my spine. I'm lucky I'm alive, and I'm lucky I wasn't paralyzed for life. But I had extreme electrical sensations that went maybe 10 feet out from my body for about 45 minutes. And for the next couple of years, it took me a while to get my health back to the point where I could even drive a car again. During that time, someone sat outside my house at all times, 24/7. And I didn't know why. I mean, at the time, I had no idea what was going on. And I was way too sick to even respond to it at the time. So I missed opportunities to find out what was really going on. At one time, they had a wire up on top of my house, and I was too ill to even get a ladder out and find out what it was. So the types of things that started happening was my car would be invaded, my house would be invaded. I woke every morning with the door being slammed in my house and feeling very, very groggy. And I'm a person who sleeps very lightly, so it was very odd for me to be like that. Am I going too long? Let me know.
No. You're fine. Okay. I was just needing maybe you to wrap up like in the next minute, right, and explain anything else that you feel like the audience should know before we get into the individual questions on this.
Right. Well, as far as I continued getting shock pains, but I also started getting electrical pulsing to my body. I started documenting with a camera. I do have pictures of burn marks on my body when this got started. I felt like my eyes were burned and my eyelids were extremely burned at one point. I have been followed everywhere I go. I got a security system on my house, and it has been jammed on many occasions. I've also had the bolts off of my tire and my tire rolling off the car, several nails put into my tires, and ended up with flat tires with that. I've had dream manipulation as well, and we can get into that in a little bit maybe.
Okay, very good. Remind me of that as we get into the story. I'll try to remember that. But thank you so much, Kate, for explaining your story. And now we have Maggie joining us for the first time tonight on the show. And welcome to the show, Maggie. I'm just wanting you to kind of explain your story, if you can, within like 3 to 5 minutes on the technology that you've experienced with the microwave technology and any type of electronic type of harassment, as well as why you feel like you were initially targeted.
Okay. I'm going to try to make this as concise as possible. There's a long time span, but I'm gonna try to make it streamline them.
Okay.
In 1997, I was married to a military man, and we began a divorce in 1997. I became targeted at that time, not understanding anything. Why I was targeted? I thought that he had me targeted, but I realize now that it was the military. He would not have had me targeted even through the military because I just know him, and I know he wouldn't have done that. So I believe he was probably just complaining about the divorce at work, and probably one of his superiors who probably is a bitter woman hater or something, decided to have me targeted just for general purposes. And so anyway, I was harassed much the way that what Ron was talking about, not with the DEW at first, but just with the what I call organized covert terrorism. Some people call it gang stalking, but it does involve vandalism, and they just terrorize you. And
Can you give some examples of that? You're the last one, so we've got a little bit more time with you since you haven't explained this first. So
they thought I realized I was being followed, but I realized it wasn't to watch me. It was to make sure that I understood that I was being followed.
Okay.
And, there would be loud drive-bys with cars, hang up phone calls with people saying garbled things that you couldn't understand, and just basic weirdness going on. Then it stopped. During that time, though, my mother became targeted, and she was telling me that about what was happening to her, and so I would listen to her, and I didn't understand exactly what was going on with her, but I believed her. And she was especially explaining about the noise campaign part of it. And anyway, it quickly drove her to suicide. And so I consider that my mother was suicided.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, but she was not strong like I am. Anyway, after a time, it seemed to stop. And so the kind of person I am, I just went, thank God that stopped, you know. And so I just went on with my life. And but I accused my ex-husband of it, but he seemed completely, thoroughly perplexed. And I believe him. I don't believe he would have had that done to me. All right. Then later I remarried, and then I started to experience in 1998 DEW, but I didn't understand. It was light, and it wasn't super torture, but it was there, but I didn't understand what it was. And then there was some basic weirdness going on, but not super overt. Such as outside the bedroom window, there would always be somebody climbing up the utility pole, and always there looking in the window.
Oh my gosh.
And it would just look like, oh well, there's always 1,000 million utility workers out here, you know. And we would get mail from all over the world would come to the house, and just the most bizarre things like that. But it was still just confusing. Then we bought a house on a mountain, and there was a property dispute. A man fenced off our yard, and so the surveyors, nobody would cooperate, and so I just started doing research, and I inadvertently uncovered land fraud, and then the gang stalking, or what I call organized covert terrorism, escalated to unbelievable proportions. And so I just dealt with it and continued on trying to get my front yard back. And this went on for years. And it escalated to where they were, you know, you had the vandalism, and it was all very sneaky, and you couldn't figure out. It would seem as though it was, if you complained about it, you couldn't put your finger on it. But things break, and black ink stains end up on everything, and greasy stuff would ruin every article that you have. The plumbing breaks, your car breaks, everything gets broken until you just end up spending every penny you have trying to fix everything that they break.
Okay.
And then later, in drive-bys, people glowering at you, people acting like they're going to run you over in your car when you go to check the mail. Somebody's always leaving your mail, coming by and opening your mailbox and marking your mail up with black stuff, and just ugliness and hatefulness, you know. And it's all meant to just terrorize you, and it works. Then finally, they started hitting the house with noises, which I thought people were throwing rocks at the house. But it was I learned later, it was DEW that they're using directed energy weaponry to cause noises. Then another year passed, and next thing you know, they're hitting me with it. And then it became more and more and more pronounced until they were beating the living daylights out of me with the EW to where it felt like I would be take a giant rubber band and hit you in the head with it, or stick knives in. It feels like the knives are going into your joints, and or they could freeze my body up, so I would freeze in mid-step, and I wouldn't be able to finish walking across the living room. Just shocks all over, hitting me in the head with it constantly. I was hitting the head so much, I couldn't even think straight, but I wouldn't give up. I wanted to live there, and I wanted my home, and I wanted my front yard back. But finally, they did beat me to almost to death with it, to the point where I just finally gave my home away for $3,500.
Oh my gosh!
And I walked away from it, thinking, okay, I guess they want my house. But that didn't work. It just got worse afterwards. And I went into the hospital because I wanted to. I checked myself in. I got out after 3 weeks, and they did put me in a psych part, which was fine with me. I didn't care. I just wanted a soft place to fall. Then I got out, and then within 4 months, they continued to beat me up so badly, I had to go back. I went to another hospital. The first hospital, they told me, "Oh, you're schizophrenic, you're psychotic, you're delusional, you're everything," you know. And I said, fine, I don't care. Just, give me my pills and I'll go. And then in the next hospital, when I went into the emergency room, my daughter-in-law had my records from the first hospital. And I said, let me look at those. And I looked at them, and it was full of things that I never said. It was full of lies, and it was as though they had somebody else's chart in mine. And
wow.
So I told the doctors, I said, I never said any of these things, none of them. And so they had to admit. They said, "Well, it's true. You're not schizophrenic, and you're not psychotic, and but you are delusional." And I said, "Okay, fine.
Well,
whatever."
This whole thing is not delusional. If you start looking this up under Dr. Barry Trower, where he discloses exactly what's going on the inside of this program from a physicist perspective. Just Google Dr. Barry Trower, T-R-O-W-E-R.
Dr. Barry Trower is my dream husband.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Yeah, this raises the stock on all those computer nerds and people like that,
I just want to tell Ron that, I was there. I heard your testimony and your story, and you give a powerful, powerful presentation, and I have many other friends with B2K, and I know it's true that it's not just an annoying voice in your head. It is far worse, and it's torturous. And the fact that you are here today and talking on this show is a testimony to your courage and your intelligence too. And I'm very pleased to know you.
I appreciate that very much. I'm just an ordinary guy, I'm just an ordinary guy who figured out as soon as that voice came into my head, well, you got technology. And once I figured, right in the first second, it was technology, all downhill from there. It was, then at the imminent demise and the threats to your children, your family, your friends, the police you talk to, whatever. And once you can get yourself over that this is nothing to do with you if anything happens to anybody else, and it's all there to preoccupy your mind. They're there for consumption. They're there to make you think. And I've been trying to tell, I have a group in Seattle. I have three other people with V2K. And I'm trying to explain to them, don't react. Don't do anything with these voices because it's just a radio program in the back of your head. That's all
it is. Exactly.
Yeah,
and I don't have V2K.
And all that stuff hurts.
I don't have V2K, but they have used it on me. I don't have V2K, but they have projected voices into my head using, I guess, another method from time to time. But it's not like what has happened to you.
You get the subliminal,
but I have a good
thought.
Idea. Pardon?
You get silent thought or subliminal messages, probably.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah, they can put a thought right in that heart.
Just catching the audience up on what they're speaking about, Frey microwave hearing was developed in 1958, and it's actually where they beam a voice of God or something that sounds like the voice of God, which is basically a radio-type transmitter that goes directly into your head where it sounds like someone or God is actually speaking to you within your head. And this is called V2K or voice to skull a command. So that's what they're talking about. So just catching everybody up, and you're welcome to go ahead and keep chatting. So can we talk about a little bit about the dream technology where they're able to intercept and instill dreams, which I believe Kate mentioned?
Well, I know that talking to both Susan and, Ron, I think you had gotten a lot more of this dream manipulation than I had. And I think Maggie had gotten more, and I think I have had very little in comparison to you people. But what they did do a while back was, and it's quite a while back, is just pretty much say, you got 10 years. And I don't know what that means. I don't know if that's 10 years of torture or 10 years of life, you know. who knows, you know. But they do threaten people all the time, whether it's V2K or, subliminal type or whatever. And I also wanted to say, everything that Maggie had mentioned before, the knives in the head, the freezing and walking, all the pains in the head, the medical record manipulation, I've had it all as well. Helicopters over the house, them trying to make me think there's ghosts here, you know, touching what they do call phantom touch. Yeah. Well, I'll let somebody else go on.
The dream manipulation that is such a dream that you're living in a dream. It becomes a reality in your dreams. It's like you're living in a 3D dimensional world that's better than any movie theater can produce. It seems so real. They could put you on Mars and you're with Martians, and it's so real. It's just, words can't do it justice. You are actually living on Mars, and you're actually dealing with aliens. It's just unreal technology. There's nothing I can compare it to that anybody in the audience would understand. They just put you in a spot, and you're there, and it's usually not a good dream. There's no, you know, men on, you know, white horses or Cinderellas or anything like that. It's terrible dreams that I've experienced anyway. And the reality of it is the technology that we know as a movie scripts, it doesn't do it. Unreal manipulation of the mind.
Now, I have not had that. That's fascinating to me, but not so fascinating that I want to know up close and personal what it's like.
They actually addressed this in the Super Soldier program, and that was a consistency with all of the people that were interviewed in the Super Soldier program. They all felt like they were being trained in their dream state, either on Mars or on the moon or different things where their dream state created like some type of altered or alternate reality, basically. Right, Ron?
That's what I feel.
Yeah, okay, very
I know
cool.
I haven't been there. I know I wasn't on Mars, but I was there, you know.
But do you believe they could convince somebody that they had been on Mars with the technology, that dream technology? It's artificially
induced.
I
have no doubt in my mind they could do that, because I know I was in my front room one time watching a war happening on some different planet, and with Martians and these crafts and everything. I saw it out my front window, and I could actually view it closer with binoculars. It was unreal.
Yeah.
I've had the dream manipulation wide awake. And they just tune
wow.
into some part of your brain, and it's the realism, the details, the just the details of just dirt on a craft. I mean, it's just, I can't give you an explanation of what I saw, but it is the most real thing I've seen when you know you're not seeing it. So.
Well, they can, Dr. Barry Trower talks about how they can pinpoint specific areas of your brain to cause you to experience anything they want to with the remote technology. So, and just beam it straight to your any specific part of your brain that they want to. So, I mean, it makes all kinds
out.
Of sense to me.
I'd love to give them a suggestion of what I'd like to see, but I don't get that.
Yeah, put in requests like have a Netflix, you know, list lineup of future dreams to send them, right?
I have a very vivid dream life, but I have since I was tiny, and it's not been manipulated in that way. Thank God. I just thank God for that. And I believe that one of the reasons, I am on what I call maintenance targeting now. And I think it's because once the property dispute was over and everything was over, I did not try to make a case out of my case of being a targeted individual. And all I did was just tell my doctors and everything, you know, I said, I'm going to tell you right now that I want you all to know that I forgive you right now because I know that you don't understand what's going on. And I had one just laugh at me, flat out laugh at me. But as time went on and I was very patient with them, you know, more and more things have come out. And so now they are not treating me the way they used to. I still continue to go to the doctors. Because this is a learning experience that we all have to carry this forward. The way I feel about it is I don't want to sue people. I don't want to strike out at people. I want to teach people. And they are victims too. Some of them might be in on it, some of these Tavistock psychiatrists who, you know, are the Nazis and everything, but most of them are in there because they really do want to help people. And so that is where I am with it. You know, I just when I was under the worst targeting, there were police who tried to help me. There were good cops, you know, and then there were cops who seemed like they were kind of pretty much in on it and using the technology. So I just, you know,
well, yeah,
I tried
to make that clear. There are good police. But
yeah.
There are the police that are in on it. You can
the police,
right out of the circle real fast. It's obvious.
Law enforcement, like every other aspect of our, every other agency and aspect of our society, good and evil walk shoulder to shoulder. And every agency, every institution, including churches, are all infiltrated with this evil thing that's happening to us. And so we just have to realize that, and we can't strike out at any one institution or agency and say they're completely all evil.
And I think they're also, mind controlled to a degree.
Yeah.
I know that.
And confused.
I don't know about
confused.
You people, but I think if we could probably compare when this first started happening to us. Did you both also? Seem to feel that every single person you looked at was looking at you funny, because I found that has gone away.
Yeah.
That they looked like they had were full of hate, and I don't know if that was manipulation of people around you, or what. I don't know how you would interpret that, but that
I believe that they use that they when people are under the most heaviest time of their targeting. That they do use the mind control technology on bystanders and people around you, and temporarily control them, put thoughts in their mind and all that cause them to react in certain ways that you will see, and that will make you think that they hate you or whatever, and that they really they're completely innocent.
And that's what really increases this paranoia and you know almost like a post-traumatic stress syndrome that occurs to targeted people when it first happens. And those that are not strong enough really don't seem to come out of that.
Okay,
well,
we're at about 25 minutes into the show now, and one of the directives and the reasons that I wanted to have you all three on is to corroborate certain parts of the story that we started with Ron and Kate last week, and now we're adding a third person to this. So if we could kind of do a round robin, starting with Ron, then Kate, then Maggie, all going around the circle and answering just basic questions. The first question I have of you is, did you notice chemtrails in the vicinity of your area before you were experiencing the electroshock portion of your targeting? Ron, can we hear from you?
Well, I see chemtrails every day, and you don't notice. It's like a, you know, the East Star or whatever. You don't notice unless you look up. But, yeah, chemtrails, you know, engulf Washington is, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, they're daily routines. You know, daily trails, every day you see the chemtrails being sprayed down. And,
okay.
All you have to do is look up. It's one of those things, once you start looking in the direction, you'll see that it's down in Vegas, it's down in, you know, California, it was everywhere. So, yeah.
Right. Okay, now, Kate, what is your experience of chemtrails in your general area, and specifically right before you were targeted electronically?
Before I was targeted, they were never around this area. I live in a rural area, and I did not see them at all. And on our last show that we did, I think I mentioned to people that all of a sudden I noticed a plane going over my property, and it was almost like a lawnmower, you know, back and forth in a row, and I only over my property, which I thought was very odd. And then the chemtrails started, and so I would notice they'd either be right over my house or directly over my neighbor's house, but drifting across into my property. And I don't know if they had the effect, but I did notice that a good number, probably 50% of the trees on my property, ended up dying in a very short period of time.
Okay.
And I also had a surveillance camera out here. Because of all the harassment that was taking place, I wanted to document. And in a short period of time, all of a sudden, the footage on the camera started getting extremely snowy. It really looked like a snowfall when you looked at the replay of it.
And that's been documented by Robert Forget, who came on from the U.S. Navy, and his specialty was in surveillance and this high-tech type of surveillance camera operation. And his whole thing, what he mentioned was, it definitely looks like snow on the screen. So that's the particulates, and that's how they fall, and they're registering almost like snow because they're that dense.
Yeah, and I did want to make a reference to the last show that Ron had talked about some images that he saw up in the sky. And one thing I think, Ron, that I wanted to check with you on is there was like a, you said you, there was like a stream coming off of something, I believe. And I happened to, the very next night, take pictures. And when I blew them up, I actually saw that. Now, I am wondering if these little, whatever you call them, what stationary, they look like stationary large stars that are more like a drone because they do start moving around. And I'm wondering if they are somehow directing the particulate that is spewing out of the chemtrails in any way. I'm not really sure if they are, but I began to wonder about that after I took that photograph.
Okay, very good. Now, Maggie, can you explain your experience with this? Have you directly noticed chemtrails being sprayed overhead before you were electronically targeted?
Not before. I did not begin to notice the chemtrails until how thick they were, I guess. I did notice them, but I didn't notice that they made that they were, if there was a correlation between the chemtrails and me being hit personally with directed energy weaponry. I did not pick up on that.
Okay.
But I did notice that they that there was something wrong, and that there was the contrails were awfully thick and hanging in the sky, but I didn't understand or make a connection.
Okay.
But
now, going
down
back to the round robin again, starting with Ron, then Kate, then Maggie, asking the question this time, did you happen to notice helicopters overhead any time before you were electronically harassed the first time?
Absolutely not. Not me.
Not you. Did have you ever noticed helicopters flying overhead, or is that just other people's story?
No, that's I don't mean to interrupt, but no, the helicopters. I'll tell you what, I had an experience with helicopters. Two of them actually. I heard them from miles away. It was like the biggest propeller helicopters I've ever heard, so I had to go outside and watch. And the helicopters that came directly over my house. They were painted red and white, and these were the largest helicopters I've ever seen, and they're probably maybe 200 feet above my house, and they actually had like fan blades underneath them, and when I looked up, these things were dispersing like rock salt directly onto my house, and my, you know, me being on the porch, it was on me, and they're also on my dog. And I tried to retrieve them from my dogs on his fur, but they would actually melt in your hand. And
wow.
It was the only way I can describe them is like a rock salt substance. And you know, the two passed over my house, one right after the other, dispersing this over my house, and I never seen them again.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, Kate, what was your experience with the helicopters overhead? I know I got to hear a really good story of yours where you were out there waving them down one time. So tell us your helicopter story.
I've had several, and I've gone different places, maybe just to go for a walk. And when I did, I went to a rural area that was kind of far removed from the road. And on that occasion, I did have one come down so low, it was literally about 50 feet over my head. That was the lowest one I've ever had. I've had others that came over the treetops here and just hovered right over my treetops. The one I told you about I think it was last year. I remember the date. It was March 16th of last year, and it came right over the tops of my trees around 8 p.m., and by then I had seen so many of them, I just said, well, what took you so long, you know, and I was laughing, and it seemed to me that that was the last time they came very close to my property, because I don't think they like that reaction of laughter. They really want to put the fear of God in you, you know.
Yeah, just keep laughing then, yeah.
Yeah. But I
Make
have had, I think I told you I had a drone come over my property that really took me by surprise because, again, it was right over the treetops. And within seconds of me looking up, it hit me in the back with an electrical pulse that drove me to the ground.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that was very frightening because I've had severe, severe shocks, just like Maggie had mentioned, to my head, and this one was into my back, and it just threw me.
Wow.
I also,
sometimes
I told you,
think they don't know how hard they're hitting you. Sometimes I think they just don't understand. I think they don't even know how to calibrate their own equipment, you know. I just can't believe that they know how hard they're hitting you when they hit us that hard.
Right.
Well, they can sure tell when you're on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, keep your shoes off and run. And you need to stay grounded. If you have rubber soles on your shoes, it hurts worse. If you can, and if you can, when they hit you, if you can go outside and stand on the ground and barefoot and put the palms of your hands on the ground, it will pull that out of you, and it won't build up as bad.
Yeah, that bringing that up. If anyone has springs in their bed, if you're sleeping, and they're hitting you, you can have an incredible build of electricity in your body, and it is extremely painful.
Yeah.
So this is the microwave attack at night.
Yes.
I did forget to mention about the helicopter. One time I was going down the freeway with a friend going to a hospital for my friend getting a turbo part out of her, and I actually experienced an Army helicopter coming probably 20 feet above the daughter and my vehicle that we were in, and it literally, like, you didn't know if this thing was going to hit you or not, and this was on the freeway. And she was just like, what the hell, you know, and knowing you're a targeted individual, you just, they must have been off course or something, but I remember that vividly now, and, I mean, that was kind of a scary thing, as one swooping down at you on the freeway.
And that reminds me of something else, Ron, I had forgotten about, actually. One of the very first planes to come down was not a helicopter, but it was like a old biplane. I was at a lake where my brother's place is in Upper State New York, and this came down, and it just about wingtip almost hit the water. It came so close to me.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So I had at one time there were black helicopters coming up to the mountains, and they did fly around in my house and come low and do all these things. 9/11 had already happened, but I still was confused. I did not understand that the government would hurt me. My father was an Army officer. I thought the government was my friend and the military was my friend. Okay, and so I just thought I guess they're doing training exercises. And they didn't hit me with DEW while the helicopters were doing this, so I just enjoyed the activity. I didn't know to be afraid of it. I realize now that what you're supposed – they want you to do, especially back then, is they want you to complain. And if you complain, then the police or the authorities can tell you that you're delusional, that nothing like that would happen to you. Why would that happen to you? Why would they do that to you? You must be paranoid. I didn't know to complain.
I would agree with you there. That is part of the whole game.
So you think they're actually trying to provoke you to call the police, right?
They're trying to get you to react in any way whatsoever, whether it's to be terrorized, to cower down, to hide in a closet, to complain, to kill yourself, whatever. They don't care.
To start your own radio show.
Yeah. But I didn't.
Well, I understand is they want to get you on a list. I'm sorry. They want to get you on a list. They either want you a sexual deviant, they want you violent, or they want you crazy.
Yeah, they want you to act out. If you'll act out and do something violent or strike out or any way, that's especially what they want.
Personally, I'm talking about the America as a whole. They want everybody involved in the court system, right? So they're trying to make people react violently. They're trying to make people react sexually, as you know they could do with this technology. And they either want you to be a violent person or sexual or crazy. That's what
exactly
the goal of it is.
And it's just like Nazi Germany, but with a twist. It's just with a twist. They have more technology. I'm sure they threw many people into insane asylums back during Nazi Germany.
The brown shirt. The brown shirt system they had in Nazi Germany, pre-war. That's what they're doing. They're targeting people into the community.
It's flat-out terrorism and oppression, and that's what it's all about. And
it's flat-out waste of taxpayer dollars, isn't it?
Absolutely. And another thing, since you were talking about the chemtrails, they do come over now. I live in a rural area. I live in the middle of a 77-acre plot of woods, the only house and I mean, there's nobody around, and they do come and they spray. And when they spray, they line it up where it will drift. I can tell it will drift so that it will come down, and my house will stay in the line of the drifting chemtrail. When that happens, there's always a pattern. But they'll do it, and then it comes down, and then the DEW, which I experience pretty much all the time, is accentuated, and then there's especially a zinging effect in the air as I move around. The particles in those chemtrails must heighten the DEW or the microwave frequencies, and it seems to heighten it. And as I move around, I get a buzzing and zinging effect. Where you can just feel a zing, zing, buzz, buzz as you're moving around. And
yeah.
After that day, the next day it's gone. It drifts away and it's gone.
Right. The chemtrails basically are loaded with aluminum, barium, boron, and strontium, and as well as other things. But when they are loading the sky with those, it literally does the same thing as, like, say you have like a puddle of water in your bathroom, and you drop your hair dryer in the middle of it. It literally sends shocks all through that. It becomes a medium,
yeah,
like the water would be in your bathroom.
It's
so
a conductor.
Yeah, it's a conductor. There you go. It's a conductor. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would almost think that those chemtrails were a charged particle too, because at night, you know, when I have on video, I mean, I could see the particles. You know, they're almost a glow. So you almost think there might be even a charge to them. I don't know if that's possible. I'm not a scientist or any pretend to be one or anything, but you know, if you can view one at night through a camera, and it's like snow at night, you know, but they're charged particles falling from the sky.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, that's what I've
It's
read.
Called ionization. So they're literally charging the skies. That's what they're doing. Just like the basic fly zapper fly swatter. Have you seen those? The electronic grid fly zappers?
I've experienced
it. Yeah,
yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. I mean, pulling it down to an elementary level. They're turning our skies into a fly zapper, for heaven's sake. You know?
And where are the flies?
And not only that, I mean, the environmental damage from things like barium, you know, in your water supply or, you know, just in the land. I mean, people do not realize the side effects of what they're up to. And if the public got educated, they would be furious.
Yes. I mean, many people are still discrediting chemtrails as a conspiracy theory, not realizing these have U.S. patents dating as far back as to the 1920s, and it's listed under, like, stratospheric aerosol spraying or gadgets related to geoengineering. So it's not going to be listed sometimes under chemtrails, the actual name, chemtrails or geoengineering. It's going to be listed under stratospheric aerosol spraying or something like that. So
I hope that you're able to do a show on how to detox from the nanoparticles in nanotech that we are absorbing from the chemtrails.
Yeah, we are working on that right now. I've got a speaker coming in like the next 2 weeks that's going to discuss that.
Yay.
Yay, yeah.
You going to talk about degausser?
Oh, can you go into that, Ron, the degausser?
That's the way I stopped the pain. I used to get microwave pains all over my body, knee, elbow, you know, shin, wherever.
You do what?
I found a item at a website called a bulk tape video eraser, which is also known as a degausser. It's a demagnetizer. And when I was getting my pains in my knees, let's say, I'd put the degausser one side of my knee and the magnet on another and turn it on 3 or 4 separate times, and voila, the pain was gone forever. Now, I've had corrective surgery microwave attacks. I couldn't stop the ones, you know, before it actually calcified my red blood cells in my foot. But the pain throughout my body have stopped.
That's awesome.
That's
now, the ones in the head,
you.
The eyeballs, those had not stopped. But I still limp to this day where they still hit me in my foot where I've had corrective surgery. Also, I'm limping right now. They're hitting me right now as I speak. So I'm being punished.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's the threat for doing one of these shows. Every time you get off the air, you get zapped. So we're all going to pay our dues, I'm sure. But, yeah.
Small price to pay to, you know, inform America. That's what we're trying to do.
That is important.
Freedom of speech.
It's for the children. It's for the children because if we don't do this, if we don't do this, our grandchildren and their children will be enslaved with this technology.
Yeah, I commend each and every one of you for coming on here and telling your story. We've got now 7 minutes, so or actually, yeah, a few minutes, like 6 minutes now. So let's go through, and each person, if you could give like 2 minutes of a recap and anything that you'd like to say to end with. Ron, starting with you.
Yeah, I'd like to recap again. You know, I said it last week, but here's three separate people, three different parts of America. We're talking about the same exact thing. We don't collaborate on our stories to make this sound so real that you believe or disbelieve. You just have to understand we're victims. We're innocent people just like you, you know, and if you can't understand that the technology that we're trying to give you, because we do not talk in scientific terms, that none of our faults because we're innocent. And we are trying to describe to America what we tolerate trying to live in a country that's supposedly supposed to be free of this, who defend democracy around the world. And, you know, you have to do the homework. Barry Trower, great source. He will talk about, there's a video called Barry Trower Talks with Electronic Assault Victims, I believe it was called. And, you know, just do some homework. Look into this, because if you don't realize what we're doing this for, it's not for us. We're already targeted. It doesn't stop. It could stop with you and your children, though, if you help us do what we're trying to do. It's just that real, and it's that critical of a time right now. And with all this Verizon stuff coming out and the Googles and the Microsoft, it's becoming apparent it's up to something. And they talk about, you know, the IRS targeting corporations. Well, they're targeting individuals, too. So just to make it clear, we're not here to, you know, put up a BS story for you. So it's real.
They're closing in on everyone.
Yeah.
They're closing in on everyone. And soon they'll have everybody targeted. I mean, we're all targeted already.
Okay.
Some of us are extra targeted.
Kate, I'd like for you to go next. And we now have 4 minutes, so if you could wrap it up in 2 minutes.
Sure. Well, one of the things I wanted to say at the end here is I want to encourage people to educate themselves, and I'm going to name 3 books that I think will give you a lot of information. Nick Begich, that's B-E-G-I-C-H, Controlling the Human Mind, HARP, H-A-A-R-P, 2 A's, Jerry E. Smith. He was one of the very first to bring this out. And Robert Duncan's book, Project Soulcatcher. If the audience would read those books, they will be miles ahead of the average person and be educated as to what's going on. This torture can happen to anyone. And it's important for us to realize that someone like Edward Snowden, that's been on from NSA the past few days, you know, outing all the information that the NSA is up to. We are having our phones tapped, all of us, but more so targeted individuals. We're very aware of it. We're aware that we have video in our homes.
In our eyes.
That are illegal under our Constitution. And it's important that we start working towards getting rid of the NDAA and getting rid of the Patriot Act, which it has done nothing to stop terrorism. And
very good.
With that,
Kate,
I'd like to turn it over to Maggie.
Oh, okay. Maggie, we have 2 minutes left, okay?
Directed energy weapons, microwave warfare, if you want to know about what can be done to you, it's just the 101, course 101. Just go to YouTube, Dr. Barry Trower, 30-minute reality update.
Very good. Yeah, I've been watching Dr. Barry Trower this afternoon and posted some of those on my Facebook page. where everybody could see that. So I hope people will watch those videos and update themselves on what exactly is going on with this technology. And anything else you'd like to say, Susan? Maggie?
Pardon?
Anything else you'd like to say, Maggie?
Just that, to make it simple for people, Dr. Barry Trower, go to YouTube, Dr. Barry Trower, 30-minute reality update. That's good for people who are not up on this. He makes it very concise, and the man is given a college-level education for free, and all you have to do is go to YouTube to find it.
Oh, very good. Okay. Thank you all for coming in to the show tonight, for doing your best to explain this to the entire, population. Everybody really needs to know about this. Thank you so much. And thank you, Ruth Ann, for allowing us to do this show tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ruth Ann.
Bye.
The opportunity.
Very much.